is a moment in time in the history of the AFL.
Crossfield kick. Oh, brilliant.
ABC Grandstand.
Hi, this is Sally Pearson.
This is David Warner.
This is Bissa Brusha.
This is Elise Perry.
This is Tim Cahill.
This is Tyler Lovell from the Kookaburras.
Hey, this is Matthew Delvedova.
ABC Grandstand. On mobile, online and on your radio.
He comes in, strikes it. Oh, it's sweet!
ABC Grandstand. If it moves, we'll call it. Boot Room ABC Grandstand.
Yes, welcome to the Boot Room. Ned Hall and Shannon Byrne with you this week, and looking back at the week in the A-League, looking ahead to what's coming up in round 18, and also having a bit of a look at what's going on with the Socceroos, because plenty of news around that this weekend, which has a knock-on effect, of course, to what's happening in the A-League at the moment. And so, mostly, the story is that Graham Arnold had officially been approached. No huge surprise there. I think he was always likely to be on the shortlist. But just the fact that now he's in the running for that, the Socceroos seem to be making a bit of progress in terms of who they might be appointing or looking at appointing somebody for the job. There's a World Cup this year, by the way, Shannon. I don't know if anyone noticed.
Do you think so? Yeah. I don't know. I think the FFA probably still up in two minds as to whether to appoint someone like Graham Arnold and give him the, you know, a 4 or 5 year cycle, or whether they actually could get someone of a massive name from Europe, just give them the World Cup and then allow Graham Arnold to finish off his season and go again. I don't actually think they know.
No, I don't. And I honestly think the view has changed on that. We were talking about this originally, and that was our, well, certainly, definitely my, I always thought short-term appointment, go to the World Cup, because it'd be better for Graham Arnold, I think, to be the long-term coach. And I think that's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he's thinking as well, and maybe the FFA are coming round to that idea as well. And there's no end of mercenary coaches around the world who would take the job knowing it's short-term and it's a chance to go to the World Cup.
I'll play the devil's advocate, though, but for Graham Arnold, why not go to a World Cup and then build again for another next World Cup cycle? There's no guarantee you're going to make a World Cup again.
Well, that is exactly right. And this is the
it's
problem.
So confusing.
And the other side of the coin, they give him the job, he has a stinker of a World Cup, and all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, I don't think you're the man for the job. And you're out the door, and he's out of his Sydney FC job as well. Very interesting. Look, what one person, Shannon, you and I know very well, always has his heart on his sleeve and very passionate about the national team and what they're doing, is Paul Wade. Spends an awful lot of time with us as well. He's probably sick of the sight of us or the sound of us as well, Wadey. But it's an interesting time, isn't it, with everything that's going on at the moment with the Socceroos?
Yes, you're right. I am fed up with the sight of you.
That's why he's on the phone.
It is an interesting time. It's so many variables, eh? You've got Lazaridis, Schwarzer, Bresciano, who are supposed to be giving their opinion as from a footballing perspective. You've got all these contractors to find out whether the price of these coaches is in with world standards. Honestly, where is he going to come from? I don't know. I'd give it to Graham Arnold, and I'd give it to him for the World Cup and the Asian Cup, which is in January 2019. There are some guys from overseas, but you know what, guys? I've worked it out that if you pay somebody from overseas $1 million for the time that it's going to cost between now and the, just say we make the second round. If you actually work it out, it's $3,000 a minute for every minute you play in the competition.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, do we really need... I know that's a simplified and unreasonable way of putting it, but it just puts it in perspective.
It's interesting, isn't it, when you look at that? And however, I suppose the thing with football and with World Cup cycles, I know you've got the Asian Cup every 2 years then, you know, every other year. So you've got the Asian Cup, 2 years later World Cup, 2 years later Asian Cup. But with the World Cup being that pinnacle event, should it be viewed as a sort of, I don't know, it can't really be viewed as a stepping stone. You've actually got to go there and do your best in terms of, you know, if Australia goes and has a good run, the good that that does to the game in Australia, it is hard to quantify.
Oh, I remember 2006 and the party that was on for at least 2 weeks. You know, we're 1-0 down against Japan and we won 3-1. And the talk about it, the wow, we were hugging everybody and anybody. It didn't matter where you were in the streets, we knew about it. And we, to get to that second round, honestly, Ned, Shannon, I reckon that was like us winning the World Cup, considering we hadn't been for 32 years. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone will talk about, you know, our match against Italy and what if at the more sort of recent big moment in World Cup history. I just think, though, like we could use Western Sydney Wanderers as a very good example. You had Tony Popovich, who had them all for pre-season, had all of his ideas in place. You know, Ange Postecoglou's done that in the lead-up to the World Cup, got us qualified. They leave at the last minute, and then they've got to play the big time. So your season starts, the tournament's going to start. We saw Gombau, how much he struggled just putting him on the pitch in the first couple of games to get to that game style. I mean, if we pick some big name manager, he's then going to come in and within weeks or, you know, three or four training sessions, get them to his playing style as well. And he doesn't know too much of the history of us. It's just a really, really big gamble on whatever they're going to do. And I don't know. I just think, yeah, if you're going to do it, give it to Graham Arnold and let him have it for the whole time.
Well, everybody believes, and I know for a fact, that he's a good man manager. He's such a delight to be around. Yeah, he can get grumpy on that touchline, and he's forever trying to get out of the technical area. But honestly, he knows how to talk to people. He won a grand final with the Central Coast Mariners. That is so key to being an international coach, because you don't get them week in, week out like Gombau has. You get them for a few days before the game and maybe 2 weeks before the competition. So far, you've got two games, two practice matches organised between Colombia and Norway. So philosophy and style of football, as you mentioned, Shannon, that is so important. If you combine that with good man management, he's the key for me. Mind you, having said that, there are a couple of coaches around the world, Ned, who have been keeping a close eye on us.
No question at all. Look, this is the thing. You know, most coaches around the world would love to coach at the World Cup. I think that's, yeah, it's like, again, we say hugest event in world football, biggest sporting event in the world. So if you get the opportunity to go to the World Cup, you jump at it. And I think there are a lot of coaches who would be very, very tempted to take the opportunity up. The names that have been listed more recently, and this is the other thing with this, between different media organisations, and I have to say between Fairfax newspapers and News Limited papers, even between, and we can say this in Sydney, the market here, almost between the Telegraph and the Australian, which are both News Limited papers. There seems to be a difference of candidates and where people are in the pecking order at the moment as well. But there are a lot of people involved. The latest I saw from Don Bossy from the Fairfax papers was that David Gallop and Luke Casserly, who's involved with all the national teams, he's head of the national teams, left Sydney on Sunday to go and do some interviews with overseas coaches. And the names they've listed: Slaven Bilic, formerly of West Ham United, he was in charge of the Croatian national team as well. Louis van Gaal, former Manchester United coach, who's been in charge with lots of big teams around the world and been a national manager for the Netherlands. Roberto Mancini, formerly of Manchester City, currently in charge at Zenit St. Petersburg. And also Bert van Marwijk, who was with Saudi Arabia. And I've read in different places, one that he's almost joint favourite for the job and one that interest in him has cooled. So it's hard to know where they are leaning at the moment. But there's no question, there's some big name coaches who are interested in the job.
Yeah, Ted, right there. Honestly, because I've made the comment about the man management, I don't care what you've done in the past. It doesn't mean that you're going to do the same, you know, in the present with very similar, very different players. I just look at Van Marwijk and I'm thinking, well, he did get to the World Cup before the Socceroos, having finished second behind Japan. And I know Brahma at the Central Coast Mariners has been saying that some of the comments about him being a defensive coach are unfair. If you look at the stats, that is quite right. He qualified behind Japan. If he's so defensive, he certainly scored more goals than the Socceroos, and he's conceded less. So if we think he's conservative and defensive, wow, what will we?
Well, exactly. And you look at Graham Arnold, another overly defensive coach, apparently, and you see the number of goals that Sydney FC score as well. So people do make some interesting comments relating to what the coaches do. Look, you mentioned, Wadey, about you think Graham Arnold is the man for the job. And I've got no question Graham Arnold will be the Socceroos manager. It's just whether it's appointed in February and going to the World Cup or whether it's done at the end of this season. He's part of the Socceroos coaching squad that goes to the World Cup and takes over the job full-time following the tournament. Do you have a problem with the short-term appointment coming in?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's all about in the next year. Mm. When you think January 2019, the Asian Cup. In a year, he knows the players, he knows the mentality, he's got a great style of football. Everyone says he's defensive too, don't they? We know how. And mind you, everyone will say, yeah, but they're not Aussie players, they're all from overseas. Well, that might be right, but he's still got to get into their heads. And I think that's the bonus that he has. There is no doubt that tactically he's fine. And you know what? When you think back to 2006, we all say Gus was the man. He was the best coach ever. Well, you know who was doing all the hard work? Graham Arnold. He was coaching PSV, Gus Hiddink, while Arnie was doing all the hard work. He went to that World Cup. He knows the drill. Honestly, it just stands out a mile. But you know, has he got the big profile? Has he got the respect of, I don't know, it's a tough gig.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think whichever way, and I have to say, I do feel for the hierarchy at the FFA, who do get a bit of a hard time from the wider football community, because it will all come down to results. And whatever they do, if the results aren't good, they'll probably cop the blame for it, saying it was the wrong decision, whichever way they go. So it's not easy from their point of view. Just have a quick listen to what Graham Arnold had to say, because obviously Saturday the story broke that the FFA had contacted him and that he had been spoken to about the Socceroos job. And obviously it was put to him at the press conference following the game.
The contact from FFA, as I said clearly, was all around the process and what they're doing. And obviously I'm very honoured and flattered to be one of the five or six candidates that they wanted to inform or speak to. Whether they go which either way, but again, I was flattered, and it was the more the process that they wanted to inform me of. And those details I can't reveal. You know, they've got to be with FFA. They need to reveal them.
That's Graham Arnold, and his comments then just talking about having actually been approached. And as he said, he's not given an awful lot away, as he's not very likely to do. But it is still in this process now. The timeline initially was that mid-February was when the FFA were keen to have somebody appointed. Having said that, I have also heard that they might try and get it done by the end of the month. I think that seems unlikely with the delegation just leaving to go to Europe now. But just in terms of, from your point of view, Wadey, as a player, I know you're not working with them day by day, these coaches, but I mean, surely the sooner the better the Socceroos get a coach in place so they know who they're working with and they can actually start making contact with the players. Surely the earlier the date, the better.
No, ain't that the truth? Honestly, if I'm going to say that Graham Arnold is a great man manager, and then I all of a sudden going to give you 3 or 4 months to make that connection with the players, that's a tough gig. And we are resilient. We are open-minded enough to take on board everything a coach is going to say. There's no doubt about that. That's one thing we are good at. I'm sure the players, when you think about it, all the media and maybe the players are whinging about three at the back. You can be guaranteed the next coach is going to play four. So maybe that might be a good start for the mentality of all the players. Yeah, the sooner the better, not only for the players, but for us. Yeah. We're fed up. You know what, Shannon, it's a great story. It'll go on forever.
Yeah, and look, I think either way we're going to see Graham Arnold there. It's in June, so he'll either be the coach taking on some duties there and taking over the main role at the end of the tournament. But yeah, mark my word, I really think that Graham Arnold will be heavily involved in June when we take on France, Denmark and Peru in our first stage group. But yeah, I'm a bit like Ned. I would think, and yourself, Wadey, that we just want to get it sorted, not only for us as football fans, but imagine like Graham Arnold and, you know, his team and, you know, even some of the signatures as to whether they stay on at Sydney FC because of Graham Arnold as their coach.
Yeah.
That is a big point, isn't it, Ned? I'd be gutted. I know Wilkinson said, he's a professional coach, that's what you do. I'd be gutted if he was leaving with the potential that they have to go back-to-back and my coach does a runner. Sure. No thanks. And if I was coach of, or if I was the president of Sydney FC, definitely not.
No, exactly. And I think the club would let him go, but I don't think they want to. But I think they're probably putting they can't really stand
in
his way.
The national job, yeah.
And look, well, just very quickly, Wadey, before we let you go, and obviously we've got no game this weekend, so we have to sort of make up our time now and have a bit of a chat about football right now because there's no game in Sydney on the weekend. We did see two this weekend. We saw Sydney FC draw 1-1 against the Central Coast Mariners, and we saw Melbourne Victory beat Western Sydney well. All I'll throw to you now, Wadey, is how good a weekend has it been for the two Melbourne teams? And are they sort of, all of a sudden people starting to take a lot more notice of them? Dario Vidicic, outstanding for Melbourne City. They smashed Adelaide United 5-0, and Adelaide have been an improving side themselves. But all of a sudden you've got Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory notching big wins at the weekend. And maybe Sydney and Newcastle might be having a little look over their shoulders about the two Melbourne sides racing up.
Yeah, and I've always been a little bit... I've always questioned McCormack's ability to score goals and produce the sort of stuff that we want. But he's in second place on the goal-scoring ladder. Yeah. And without him scoring, they've scored 5 goals against Adelaide, who I'm sure we watched the week before, and they weren't half bad, were they? So what a massive result for Melbourne City. Melbourne Victory, I always thought that they were going to come good. They were a great story while they weren't, but I knew Kevin Muscat and the footballers on the park were going to come good, and they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Wadey, look forward to seeing you again. We've got to wait a week on Friday till Sydney FC play again. So just enjoy kicking the ball around the lounge at the weekend and watching a bit of football. So, yeah, we'll see you at the Sydney Football Stadium.
Keep up the good work, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Wadey.
The Boot Room. ABC Grandstand.
Well, yes, we were just saying to Paul Wade, good weekend for Melbourne. I have to say, I did not see that Melbourne City result against Adelaide United coming. 3 goals, essentially, in 90 minutes. The last few minutes, 1 in the 89th and 2 in stoppage time at the end of it. It's given an extra bit of gloss to it. But still, for Melbourne to pull it together like that. Again, we've seen Adelaide a few times recently in the flesh in Sydney, and they've played really well. They played against Sydney with all these young players out there, and they've performed very well. I thought they were going to be a top 4 side at the end of the season, Adelaide. So to lose like that in Melbourne City, very surprised. One of the other standouts for me in the Melbourne City performance was Marcin Budzinski. Been a bit disappointing since he came in. He's their marquee player. He's been overshadowed so far by a few of their other attacking options. But to score the first 2 goals and play the way that he did, I think great for him and very good for Melbourne City. And clearly, his coach, Warren Joyce, was delighted with the way he played.
Yeah, brilliant for him. It's not easy. Over the other side of the world, don't you, and try and settle, and his girlfriend's not with him and his child's not with him, and he wasn't fit when he first come, and he's found some of the tempo a little bit quick for him, but he's knuckled down and keep having a go and keep trying to work, keep trying to improve. He's got a chance tonight, and he's taken the chance, and that's all you look for from all the players. You're pleased, even with obviously Manny Muscat's played most of the season. He's finding himself out of the team and a kid's playing, and his attitude and mentality to come on and drive the game, he's excellent, and you want that from all the players. You need that in if you want to be a successful football club.
I think too, then it probably should say more about how Melbourne City are travelling. Yeah. So, you're right. The draw with Sydney FC, and then to come in and be blown off the park 5-0, and then Vidicic, though, stunning goal in the 89th minute. Yeah. Absolute cracker. And so was McCormack's to finish it off as well. Too much time and space on the ball, even with acute angles. So they weren't given the respect that they should have been.
No.
Vidicic, though, how good for them to get that signing in, and he's just slotted straight in. 5-0. They're absolutely, huge contenders now for that final spot. But what about Melbourne Victory? Even talking with Kevin Muscat after the game, that 3-0 victory over the Western Sydney Wanderers, the best complete performance I've seen for a while from them all. Disappointing thing for them, though, straight after the rumours that Mark Milligan, their midfielder, could be leaving. So yeah, that would be a huge blow because he was vital in winning that midfield battle. They obviously won the forwards battle with Berisha, George, and also Barbarousis outstanding, and then their defensive line did the job.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he'll be a big loss for that. Although it sounds like they've known for a while at Melbourne Victory that if the right offer comes in, Mark Milligan might walk away.
And you remember you spoke to him at the start of the season before the ball had been kicked, and he was talking about his disappointment about not being able to go and play in the Premier League in England. He wanted to go to England, but because the Socceroos ranking had dropped to a certain point, he would have had to get a visa to go over there, and so people wouldn't sign him. So it made it a bit more tricky for him. So look, it's not being disrespectful to the A-League. We were saying this with Rob Cornthwaite. He's a guy in his 30s now, and I think a big money offer overseas, and he can go back and play. Saudi Arabia sounds like the likely destination for him. You know, it's a good move for him, and it'll get him playing some regular football a lot closer to when the World Cup gets underway as well. So I can see why he'd go, but it's just the fact that apparently the club hadn't been kept quite as well informed as they might have been about the potential for him moving. But it'd be a blow in the sense that he's such a good player for them when he's on form, Mark Milligan. You know, holds the midfield together for them. Matias Sanchez had maybe been a bit disappointing earlier in the year, and they'll lose another useful player out of that midfield trio. Although Terry Antonis joining the club, they potentially have got a backup there, though they've been using him in a slightly different way. But yeah, they were very, very impressive, and Bessart Berisha and Costa Barbarousas were both outstanding. So they are starting to pull it together now. They're starting to take their chances, and they'll be right up there. The other interesting thing, incidentally, with Melbourne City, no Bruno Fornaroli yet. But we keep saying he might be back end of January or maybe a little bit sooner after that. It sounds like Ross McCormack has agreed to stay on until the end of the season, as long as they can allow him to go back to the UK and visit his family in February. So, which I'm sure they'll let him do. But his family is still over in the UK, because I think he wasn't sure if he was coming back or not, or how long he'd be here for. But it sounds like he's happy to stay and is enjoying his football as well. And that's a huge boost for them. With the arrival of Dario Vidicic, Budzinski scoring a couple of goals, Ross McCormack, potential return from Bruno Fornaroli, things look pretty good for Melbourne City. And this was a side who looked like they were struggling and going the wrong way around the time that Tim Cahill left the club. So they've really turned it around. Other standout result this weekend, no question. Wellington Phoenix beating the Newcastle Jets. Did not see that coming at all. Wellington have been struggling game on game. They've had some bright moments in matches, but couldn't put it together for 90 minutes. Well, they more or less did against Newcastle. Mateo Lucic scored the opening goal for them as well. And Roy Krishna was outstanding, I thought, for them. And picking up 3 points. The other interesting thing with that is they're not a million miles away now from the teams in front of them. They were really lagging behind the rest of the teams. They're on 14 points now. Perth Glory, Brisbane Roar, Central Coast in 7th, 8th and 9th are all on 16 points, less than a win behind them. And then in 6th spot, Western Sydney Wanderers on 19 points, only 5 points behind them. It's not beyond the realms of possibility if they can get a run together now. The Phoenix could play finals football.
Oh, and they've got a game in hand, Phoenix. Yes. So they've actually got a game in hand. And who would have thought someone going, yay, winning their third game of the season, and they're still in with a minute chance, depending on, obviously they now have to win all their games, but they've got a game in hand. That game is against the Western Sydney Wanderers, so you don't rule that out. And I think, too, if you have a look at the two goals that Newcastle Jets did score, it was from an attacker standing between two defenders on the last line. So they'll be disappointed on those defensive efforts. And if you get that right, then they could have actually won 3-0. Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought that, they did a pretty good job. Although there was a talking point coming out of it, talking about defenders and Wellington and maybe squirrel grip.
Yeah. Marco Rossi, very well picked up by a couple of fans that like the dark arts, which Chris Classic likes to talk about quite often as well. It was well picked up on TV. Reminiscent as well of the classic.
Well, say
Vinnie
well
Jones.
Picked up. You don't really want to keep seeing the replay.
It's very true. It's very true. Vinnie Jones on Paul Gascoigne many years ago. Just a defender, just making sure he knows where the attacker is at the time. And Rossi, as an Italian defender, they've got a lot of those sorts of skills don't look great when you watch them back on TV. And finally, one other thing we should talk about as well is Brisbane Roar and the win that they had against Perth Glory. I genuinely feel so sorry for Perth Glory at the moment, because they can put in improved performances. Chris Harrell scored a couple of goals for them against Brisbane Roar, and they still end up losing the game by 3-2. So, well done to Brisbane Roar for hanging in there, picking up 3 points, and John Aloisi finally having something to be happy about, having had that lengthy injury list. They're starting to get all their players back. Avram Papadopoulos back from his suspension. So maybe they have turned the corner. And again, this is the great thing, in a sense, about the A-League being 10 teams at the moment is that everybody is still in with a chance. You can leave it until the new year to start kicking into gear, and you can always play finals football. Perth Glory would say the same thing as well. They're on 16 points along with the Roar and along with the Central Coast. And yet, if they start to string results together, the problem is they're stringing losses together at the moment.
And I think, too, if you look for like Brisbane Roar, they now take on Central Coast Mariners. So they need that momentum, because then they're up against Melbourne City when they look ahead. So, you know, they're needing to pen in that they win against the Mariners and then, you know, go for a win, even a draw if they can get out of Melbourne City after what they're producing at the moment. But looking ahead, Ned, when you talk about the results this weekend, we saw the two top teams without wins. So Newcastle didn't win. Sydney FC had to settle for a draw. We saw the two Melbourne sides come out and do complete performances. So when we go towards round 18, Melbourne City up against Newcastle Jets, Melbourne Victory up against Sydney FC. So we've got the top four teams battling it out with each other. And as you say, the rest now from fifth down are all playing each other and they're all getting opportunities to have wins and move around the ladder. So it's going to be, I think round 18 is going to be a very, very interesting round for those below the top four, because they're playing each other, the top four. Now let's see what the rest are made of.
I've got to say, this is a fantastic weekend coming up, because we just mentioned about the Melbourne sides and their great weekend, and maybe they're getting some momentum and they get the chance to play the top two this weekend. So it starts off on Thursday night, Melbourne City taking on Newcastle Jets. That game's down at Amy Park in Melbourne, so that'll be a cracker. And then Australia Day on Friday, as they've done for the past few years, Melbourne Victory take on Sydney FC down in Melbourne, also at Amy Park. Should be an absolutely cracking match between those two sides. Look, you were down on pitch side for the game against Central Coast Mariners on Saturday night, and obviously Graham Arnold saying afterwards there's been a gastro bug doing the rounds, he said, over the last couple of weeks. And I know a lot of people then were rubbishing that. I saw online, but we saw the state of Brandon O'Neill trying to get off the field after the match. He was really, really not well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw him coughing and sort of dry reaching before. Give you the details. And I just looked and I thought, oh, he might be carrying a cold into this. You know, when sort of you're not feeling well and you have a cough and it just becomes a little bit of a fiddle, you gag. And I thought, oh, I did see him before his warm-up and I thought, he's not 100%. But then when you saw the players, and we were even saying at many stages, gee, they look sluggish, and especially the midfield battle was won easily.
Yeah.
And you just thought, wow, this is unlike Sydney FC. They don't have a spring in their step. They're very sluggish. And then when the whistle blew, two Sydney FC players dropped to the ground, and then Brandon O'Neill could not get off the field.
No.
He was dry reaching and vomiting for a while. He made a couple of steps. The other players went to the Cove, acknowledged them, and he was sitting down. He took like two or three attempts actually to get off the pitch, and it was only from halfway.
Yeah.
So it does make sense. And then when he did, he walked like he was death warmed up. He looked like the dead man walking, and it just thought, yeah, he's not right. And he's spent little energy reserves that they did have, and it would explain a lot, but it's no excuse. So I think for Graham Arnold, they're probably lucky that they came away with that draw.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a few people were saying, it was interesting that he went with those players rather than chucking a few youngsters in if they'd got the illness around the club beforehand. I mean, he wanted to have his senior players out there, but might have been better served going with some fresh legs and fitter players. But if they've fully recovered, that's a big test for them against a fired-up Melbourne Victory on Friday night. The rest of the weekend, as you say, top four playing each other. So the bottom six all in action against each other as well. Can Wellington Phoenix build on their first win in a long while against Adelaide United? Adelaide off the back of that 5-0 drubbing by Melbourne City. That's the early game on Saturday. And then the Central Coast Mariners, played so well against Sydney FC. Regardless of the relative fitness of the Sydney FC players, the Mariners put in a really big effort against them. If they have a similar energy against Brisbane Roar, they're a real chance on Saturday night against them. And then the late game on Sunday night, kicking off at the unusual time of 8:30 p.m., is Perth Glory taking on the Western Sydney Wanderers. And these are two sides who've been going backwards in recent weeks. So huge match for them. And if Perth Glory are about to end their terrible run, this might be the game to do it on Saturday night. That's all the time we've got in the boot room for this week. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Wadey, even though he's no longer with us at the moment. And we'll join you again next weekend to round up round 18 of the A-League.
Thanks, Ned, and thanks, football.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Shannon.
Hi, it's Miff Warhurst. I'm here in the studio where I do my brand new show. I'm so excited to share new music that you need to hear now and celebrate the classics. But the thing about a show where you meet the people who create the art that helps us make sense of the world around us is you kind of need some artists to make it happen. And then it really happens.
Music, art, culture, and everything in between. Miff Warhurst, weekdays from 12:30 on ABC Radio.
There is a moment in time in the history of the AFL.
Crossfield kicks! Oh, brilliant!
ABC Grandstand.
Hi, this is Sally Pearson.
This is David Warner.
This is Bessa Brusha.
This is Elise Perry.
This is Tim Cahill.
This is Tyler Lovell from the Kookaburras.
Hey, this is Matthew Delvedova.
ABC Grandstand. On mobile, online, and on your radio.
He comes in, strikes it. Oh, it's sweet!
ABC Grandstand. If it moves, we'll call it. ABC Grandstand. Sports coverage like no other.